Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Speed jokes. I love that segment. It is funny, but one thing that's not funny is being sick. We want to be as healthy as possible, and that makes it make sense to talk to our next guest. It's Jeffrey Cope, and he's the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dane. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. You know, that's the thing that can be the big downer, especially as people are trying to travel to see whether it's family or friends. If they're under the weather, you know, that's one thing. But everybody does kind of get together and talk about things. And oftentimes, you know, they're talking about, you know, who's healthy and kind of what things are going around.
Yeah, this is the time of year in our climate where we have all these respiratory viruses running around. You know, we have a lot of flu that's around, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. There's a lot of pertussis going around kids right now. And our old friend COVID is still here, Dave. So a lot of this is happening. I'm sure we all know people who have upper respiratory infections of various kinds. And with all the family and friends getting together, this time of year, this happens commonly every year.
Your thoughts, Doctor, on the COVID thing? You mentioned our old friend COVID. Well, maybe it's not exactly our old friend. It's maybe a kinder, gentler one, or at least that's sort of what's out there. Why has it? Is it because of whether it's the vaccines have helped prepare people to take it, or is it just that everybody, it sort of ran through everybody and the people most susceptible, you know, got sick and then, you know, developed an immunity? You know, why is COVID not seen as just the giant boogeyman like today that it was a few years ago?
Well, a few years ago, we were dealing with a worldwide endemic, right? I mean, we had never seen this virus before, humanity. So we all were susceptible to it. And it was, and we all remember, it wasn't that long ago. We lived through a very, very difficult time. At this point, pretty much everybody's been infected by the virus, whether they know it or not. Hopefully, the vast majority of us have had vaccination, not one or two, but hopefully more than that. So there's a lot of immunity that's out there now, Dane, that wasn't there 4 years ago. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, we have to caution people, and this is really important. We still have people with COVID getting hospitalized. I checked this morning. Up here in Lake Forest, we have 8 patients this morning with COVID in the hospital. And they're older. People have other medical problems. And one of the things that John and I have been talking a lot about, Dane, is individuals who are older, who have various chronic diseases. If any of you who are listening to us right now, if you've not yet gotten the latest COVID vaccine, I would highly recommend it. It works. It will keep you from getting very sick should you get COVID. The individuals that we have in the hospital right now, none of them availed themselves of the new vaccine. So if you haven't gotten that new vaccine, I would highly recommend that you do that, in particular if you're older, and if you have chronic illnesses of various
kinds. So, Doctor, kind of share just the mindset and just sort of the process behind that and kind of what has been done so that people can understand that this is a new and improved situation specific to what people may be facing now. Oftentimes when we hear about, okay, you're going to get, you know, your flu shot for the year, it's kind of a guessing game, right? You think of what may be most likely and then you try to target that, and that seems to be what they sort of point towards. But maybe with the COVID vaccine, just because of the way that it's been engineered, it's more specific.
Yeah, it's a great point, Dane. So with flu vaccine, the seasonal influenza vaccine, there is it's a very well-educated guess. What will be the strain of the influenza virus? And there's many different strains that will be the strain that will infect us. And we usually get vaccinated with the seasonal vaccine against 3 different strains. And they're remarkably good at this. Most years they get it right. And then we have good immunity. Now, if they don't get it right, we still have immunity from the vaccine. It's just not as strong if they had gotten it right. With COVID, the good news is even though that virus continues to mutate, the vaccine that we have right now is effective at keeping people from getting very ill against the most important strains that are right now circulating in the population. And that just has to do with the proteins on the COVID virus that the current vaccine is directed against. That works. And we're very fortunate. So as you pointed out, the way that they've engineered these vaccines that are out there continue to be highly effective to keep us from getting sick from the COVID virus, even as the COVID virus continues to go through its evolutionary change and mutate like it does.
Yeah, as an expert on the medical side, you had to be amazed not only with, you know, just obviously this the scope of what it, you know, what took place with the pandemic. But as I'm thinking back, you know, if you thought you had COVID and you wanted to get a test, there was in almost, you know, many parking lots, there were just these pop-up testing sessions, you know, and there's just ways to get involved. It really did take a mobilization in a lot of different ways for people to be able to be aware that they had it, what to do with it, and certainly how to combat it. So now, since a lot of those general COVID infrastructure has been sort of, it's not in place anymore. If someone thinks they have it, where should they, is there an over-the-counter test they can just go ahead and buy, or should they make an appointment at their doctor, or how does that work?
If you want to, you can buy over-the-counter tests, and they're very accurate. They're available at your local drugstore. So you can go ahead and test yourself at home, and I suspect we've all done that at some time in the past. So those things are still available. You know, what I would tell somebody who is otherwise healthy, Dane, if you come down with an upper respiratory infection, if you can, stay home. And what you want to do is you want to stay home until you're 24 hours without a fever, and your symptoms will be getting better at that point. Then it's okay to go back out and to circulate in the community. Now, why do I say that? You know, whether you have COVID or if it's influenza or if it's RSV or if it's just one of the routine cold viruses that we've all been infected with multiple times in our life, we're at a point right now that if you're otherwise healthy, you can just deal with these things. You're going to get better. You're not going to feel great for a couple days, but you're going to be able to deal with it. So to know precisely what you have probably isn't that important if you're healthy. If you have chronic medical issues, if you're older, it's worth getting checked. And here's why. If you have influenza, we actually have a medication that can help you get better quicker. Hmm. And if you have COVID, we actually have a medication that you can take that will keep you from hopefully getting sicker, and it will help you get better quicker. So in those situations, it is worth getting some medical attention to know what you have.
Nice to know, too, you know, what to do, and then also that there's a time-sensitive nature to get involved to get it and have it over with quicker. Let the listeners know we're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Kopp, and he's the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine at Lake Forest Hospital. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with the doctor. We're going to talk about something else that is out there that is very common and that people deal with during the wintertime, which is heart attacks, and how to avoid that and what to do and all that. So keep it here. It's Dane on Christmas Eve, 720 WGN. Yes, everywhere. And I'm in till 2. In for John Williams, and excited to have on the line Dr. Jeffrey Kopin, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Dr. Kopin, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you.
So they always say, you know, don't go out and shovel snow. And I've used that to just not shovel snow forever, for my entire life, since I was maybe 9 years old, because even kids can have heart attacks. And so you want to avoid shoveling snow. But why do they spike during the holidays? Is it because people are just maybe overstressed? Maybe there's anxiety? Maybe it's overexcited about, you know, gifts or parties or whatever? Why the holidays for heart attacks?
Yeah, it's one of these bizarre things, Dane, that the Christmas Day and Boxing Day, the 26th of December, Those are typically the two days of the year with the largest number of heart attacks that we have to take care of. It's cold outside. We know when we're outside, our blood pressure actually can go up. So that in some people might have something to do with why people have heart attacks. The snow shoveling, I mean, every year, unfortunately, we all hear lots of stories of people out shoveling, particularly when the snow is really heavy. They're not warmed up. It's cold. They go outside and they keel over. I just don't know. You know, the anxiety of some family gatherings, it's just one of these very strange things that we notice every year. And Dane, to be honest, I really can't give a great explanation. So what I will tell people is, you know, if you're older, if you have risk factors for heart disease, you just got to be careful when it's cold. You know, it's Chicago, it's going to be cold, right? We're going to go outside, we're going to do things. But, you know, make sure you're properly dressed. If you're going to do physical exertion, just don't do it from a cold start. You know, do a little bit of stretching and warming up before you do it. If you start to get some symptoms, some chest pain or more shortness of breath than you think you should have when you're shoveling snow, stop doing it and get checked out by your doctor.
There's I don't know if it's a myth, but it's certainly out there as far as the fact that you're moving your arms and you're not moving your legs or something like that, right? So you're lifting the heavy snow, but you're not kind of fully, you know, on the aerobic side. Moving, does that have anything to do with it, or is it just the fact that, you know, you're usually just walking out your front door, you get the shovel, and then you're overexerting yourself, and then you add in just the cold weather and sort of the constriction of the blood vessels?
Yeah, it's interesting. So there is the constriction of the blood vessels, an increase, physiologic increase in blood pressure, but upper extremity work, when we use our arms, that actually is more taxing on our heart than when we use our legs. It's interesting. And, you know, actually, we all know that, too. Think about if you try to hold your arms up over your head for a prolonged period of time. That's difficult for most of us to do, right?
We
start to get tired. We actually can get a little short of breath when that happens. And it just has to do with the way that the blood flows through our body, the way that our blood pressure reacts, and the way that our heart has to respond.
What is it? Is it necessity is the mother of invention? I can't remember the actual thing, but you're making me think as we're in sort of, I think tank mode. So if it's about the legs, maybe you connect shovels, smaller shovels, of course, to your feet, and then you would be able to just sort of kick the snow out of the way instead of using your arms and a shovel. Doctor, do you think that would, it sounds awkward, probably would have more slip and fall and broken hips. Maybe it would just lead to more complications.
Although I have to say, Dane, all of us have used our feet to remove the snow from the stoop by our door, right? So
right.
We have done that, what you're suggesting.
And when it comes to advice, are there things that we can take? Here's another thing, too, is if people are imbibing, maybe they're, you know, having a couple glasses of wine or something before they go out and shovel, that would probably, you know, be ill-advised. But is there things that people can take, either medicine or maybe a supplement that can kind of prepare them to be better when it comes to being outside, and or just heart attacks in general?
Well, you know, I think I would I would make an even more general comment about this thing. I think the better physical condition people can be in overall, the better off they're going to be when they go out to do things like shovel snow.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you're somebody who's just a couch potato, and you're overweight, and you're not taking care of yourself, and you're not exercising, and we get 5 inches of slushy snow, that snow that just has a lot of water in it, to go outside and to start to vigorously shovel the snow when it's cold out really doesn't make a lot of sense, right? That's not the time that you want to start to do vigorous physical activity. So what I really recommend to people is just think about your overall physical fitness. This is a good time of the year. We're getting to that new year. Good time to start an exercise program. Think about how you can lose a few pounds, how you can live your life more healthfully, that will keep you from getting into trouble when you try to do something which you would think is as innocuous as shoveling snow, which unfortunately for many people can turn into a disaster.
This is great advice, not only just for the holiday season or winter, but just lifelong, is just get into incredible shape. So Dr. Jeffrey Copen, I can't thank you enough for suggesting that, and I hope our listeners, I'm sure they will, is start that fitness program so they'll be ready to shovel snow or run a 5K or a marathon or do whatever it is. And as we let you go and to enjoy the rest of your day and your holiday time, is there social media wise or a place that you can give for people to keep up
with
you?
I'll tell you, if you're interested in really good medical information, check out our Northwestern Medicine website. We have a lot of really good stuff, including articles about what we've been talking about. So if you just look on Google Northwestern Medicine, you'll just find a lot of really good stuff that will lead you to a lot of good information about how to keep yourself good and healthy.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that, Dr. Jeffrey Copen. Thanks so much for everything you're doing, keeping people safe and healthy, especially during the holidays. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Dane. And everybody take good care.